Sunday, Dalet Tishri, Tzim Gedalia, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, B'inyan HaSeres Yimei Tshuva.
You know, when they lived in Der Falach, people lived in little villages. Life was simple, life was limited. And you lived there, all you had there was your little minyan of Eden, two minyanim of Eden, three minyanim of Eden in a big village, and around the few goyim who lived there as well. It's a hakel, you know, that's all you saw. A few goyim, a few Eden, a few cows, some horses, chickens, ducks. That was it, that was life. They say that the lucky man in the village was the shopkeeper, because he got to travel. He had to stock up his store, he had to travel to a yerid, he had to go to the big fair. So he got to see the big city. He got out of the village once a year, he would go and he would see, it was great, and he would see what it looks like in a big city, what it looks like in a place that's really populated, what it means to meet people. And then it was Lebedee, it was Zach. One day the shopkeeper decides, you know, it's not fair, I've been doing this every year. My son has grown up in a village, he doesn't know anything, he's just such a small musogim. You know what, I'm going to take him with me once. So he's got a 14-year-old boy, and he takes him with him on his trip to the Yerid, on his trip to the fair. So the boy comes with, and he can't believe his eyes. It's an experience, lovely. Instead of seeing a few people, he sees hundreds of people, streets full of people, throngs of people. Abis Medrash with 50, 60, 100 mispalalim, a yeshiva with 100 bachrim. He can't get over his eyes, and they have that amazing thing, a train on tracks, and he's mesmerized. Big houses, not little one story little shacks, big 4-story houses. He can't go, and he sees shopkeepers, and he sees people playing music on the street corners. He's overwhelmed by the sights that he sees. And he comes back, and for weeks, that's all he can talk about. The Yerid and what he saw at the fair, and his father says, Taka Toyelis, Taka, he got an experience that broadened his concept of what life can be like. The Bacher carries on, he goes to yeshiva a few years, then he gets married, and Shver supports him for a few years. After 10 years, Shver turns around to him and says, you know, business isn't going that well. I'm sorry, Chodesh Kibrei, I've got to stop. I can't support you any longer. So it's time that you're going to have to do something towards getting a parnosa. He says, parnosa? He says, oh, okay. I don't know where to start. He says, I've been a mezmedrash for 10 years, 5 years. I was a bachir yeshiva. The last 15 years, I don't know. Where do you start? So Shver says, you know what? I'm not asking anything drastic. Just, you know, go off. You've got money. It's not like you're poor. Go to the Yerid. I've given you a dowry. You have some money. Go to the Yerid. Okay, it's fun memories of going to the fair. She says, fine, say them. So he travels to the Yerid. And he goes there. And now he's mature. He's an adult. And he sees things with a whole new light. It's an unbelievable experience. You know, a shul of 100 people when you're bach of 14 is cute. When you're a younger man and you see the olim davening together and he sees how they're davening and how the different styles of davening and the shtibble they daven this way and this people they say Amen Yeshmer Rab and Laudu and that one they focus more on Kriyas HaTorah and that one they start early and they have a shib for davening and he's allowed to stop, he knows how to understand it and he comes back just again full of the experience and Shver says, Nu, how was it? How was it? He says, it was unbelievable. And he starts telling him what he saw and the experiences and the differences. And he's in London, he starts comparing village life and city life. And he's pliply. And then the Shver says to him, Nu, and what schera did you buy? Schera? What do you mean schera? Would you go to the Yerid? You want to buy something? He said, buy something? He never said anything about buying. He said, I should go to the Yerid. I remember when I went with my father, he said, I should go to the Yerid. So, the Narin. When you were 14 years old, it made sense to go to the Yerid as an experience. Say the Geshmak experience. You're not a young man anymore. Now you're a father of children. Now you've got a wife to support. Well, Stam, you go through an experience. Now you have to bring back some Schere. So, Shrimshim Pinkus. We're going through the Yomim Neiroim. It's a Yerid, it's an experience. Any yid has any sensitivity knows you're going to feel things, we're going to see things, we're going to cry. It's pillow plime, the Moira Adin of the Rosh Hashanah. the pishvush ha'maisim of the aseres yimei tshuva, the seriousness of Yom Kippur, being busy between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, the simcha of Sukkos, the ernstkeit of Hashanah Rabbah, the joy of Shmini Atzeres, the ecstasy of Simchas Torah, it's all a wonderful experience. And he says, and if you're a bacha and you're in yeshiva, great, you went to the Aseret Yimei Tshuva, you went through Yom Kippur, you experienced it, and you had a sukkah, some chester, fine, say that. Oh, but this Shnei Yungim man, when you're a bit older, the Rebbe Mishma says to you, come on, that's all you did, you had an experience, what did you take away with you? What schirah did you buy? And if we go into the Aseret Yimei Tshuva, we go into Yom Kippur without thinking about what are we going to walk away with Matzah Simchas Torah? What are we going to take away from the Aseret Yimei Tshuva? And each time, as we go through one of these days of the Yom Noraim, to stop and ask ourselves, what have I taken away? What am I going to take with me? What's going to last me through the long 6-month winter that's ahead? What's going to take me through next summer, all the way to the next Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Davzuch and Schirah. And so Yodua, that those who don't know where they're going, generally don't get there. So if we don't have a goal, if we don't know where we're trying to get to, so we've got to stop and think what we want to achieve over the Yom Noraim. So let's just stop and have a look, just a very general skira achas to look at the Yom Noraim, and some is bone with some thoughts of what might be appropriate for these days in particular for the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. In the Machsa, they bring a shtickle from the Zohar HaKadosh before Tkiyas Shofar. And it says an interesting thing. He says there that the whole of the Yom Noraim, that means from Rosh Hashanah all the way through till the end of Yom Kippur, and it's Shaykh, of course, to Sukkot as well, the Mitzvah name, is all around a parasha of Yaakov and Esav. It's about the struggles of Yaakov to live or to avoid his brother Esav. So that's interesting. We all know that Yitzchak Avinu is Shaykh to Midas Hadin. What exactly that means, leave that for those who understand these things. But there's something called Yitzchak is Shaykh to Midas Hadin. When Yaakov was coming to get the brachas from Yitzchak, he says it wasn't poshut, because Yitzchak Avinu is Midas Hadin. And to be zeich with Midas Hadin is very scary. And yet Yitzchak Avinu has a son called Esav, who's also shaykh to Midas Hadin. But he's the scary negative form of Midas Hadin. And Esav HaRasha is being the katrig on Yaakov. And this is not a one-off story in Chumash that we tell the kids. It was Yaakov and Esav. It's a maisa that happens every single year on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, Yivyachum Nisera and Neiru Digamidas Hadin. And Esav wants to take that din and direct it in a negative way, in a way that would destroy the whole of Klal Yisrael. And Yaakov Avinu needs the help of Rivka Imenu, another midah. And with the help of Yitzchak Rivka Imenu, he dons his clothes, which he says Miramas to the Tfilas of Rosh Hashanah. And through the Tfilas and the Tkias of Rosh Hashanah, we manage to avoid that din of Esav HaRosh. And Yaakov walks away with a brachas. Baruch Hashem, success of Rosh Hashanah. Everybody asks you, how was Rosh Hashanah? Well, we hope it was okay. We hope our Tkias were Niskabel, Barachim, and Mavarotzen, and our Tfilas were accepted by the Rebbeinu Shalom. And we're left with the brachas of Yitzchak Avinu. But the story is far from over. And we know at the end of the parasha, Taka Yaakov Avinu does have the brachas, but Esav still has the power to attack Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu is terrified and he has to run away. Goes to Yeshiva Shem Eva for 14 years, then he spends another 20 something years with Eslav on. There's a whole tkufa where Yaakov has to escape Esav, and he spends his time fleeing from his brother Esav. And that's, as the Zohar HaKadosh, that Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's a time that we run away from Esav. That's in Parshas Vayetze. But then in Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov and Esav meet again, and this time Esav comes with 400 men, and he's out to destroy Yaakov Avinu once again. We have to know Yom Kippur. It's a serious time. It's not poshut. Yom Kippur's not poshut. And over Yom Kippur, there's an avodah v'yid of breaking away from Esav HaRasha. And if we're successful, then we can send Esav HaRasha la'azazel, as they say in Eretz Yisrael, she'elech la'azazel. So, get rid of Esav HaRasha, he goes off the cliff, and Yaakov is left intact, at daka achrona till the last point where the pasuk says Vayoshev Esav v'yemahu l'darkei se'iro, that Esav traveled off home and left Yaakov on his own. So Zezeh HaKadosh, that's Tfilas Ne'ila. Ne'ila is the final parting between Yaakov and Esav. What's interesting here is that there's three chalokim to the avodah of the Yomim Noraim, three parts to this division, this split between Yaakov and Esav. There's a Rosh Hashanah, there's a Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and there's a Yom Kippur. And I'd like to suggest three parts to our avodah of separating ourselves from the Keich Sara. I don't know that this is what the Zohar Kodesh is saying, but it's a raya, and it's something to hold on to, something that practically is very negea to Be'emes Sayyid changing his meisim. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Tshuva movement. You ever heard there was a Baal Tshuva movement? It started, and there was yeshivas, and they made Baal Tshuva. I want to tell you, the whole thing is a big lie. The Hadam, the Holocaust deniers, and I'm the Habdil, I'm a denier of the Baal Tshuva movement. I don't believe it happened. I looked into this. As far as I know, there are the odd story, but basically it didn't happen. This movement is loyhoyo v'loynivro shtusim v'havolim. Push it, nonsense. I'll tell you what. What's made this tshuva? What does tshuva mean? What is the chiddush of tshuva? There's a whole parasha of tshuva. There's a parasha in Chumash, Mitzovim, Vayelach, Hazinu. Parashas that deal with the sugya of tshuva. There might be a mitzvah of tshuva. The Meshech Chochma is a Pashta Kasha. So what do you need tshuva for? The Torah is Mechadish tshuva. Chazal say that they went to ask Torah and the Torah couldn't answer, and then eventually the Nevi'im couldn't answer. Then they went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was Mechadish a Chiddush of tshuva. What's the Chiddush of tshuva? Somebody who missed Krishma on Sunday. So on Monday, he doesn't miss Krishma. That's not tshuva. You need a Chiddush of tshuva. That's Pashut. To stop doing Averis, you don't need a parasha of tshuva. Someone used to speak Lashon Hara. Now he doesn't. Is that tshuva? I hope he doesn't. The same way Seilech Rochel Ba'amecho that said he shouldn't be speaking Lashon Hara last week, says he should speak Lashon Hara this week. Well, that's it, because he did it once, that's it. Nasa is finished, the Avera goes away. The same mitzvah that says we've got to be nice to our friends yesterday, we were decent to our families last week, says we've got to do that this week. And the fact that we've not done it doesn't free us. So what do you need a chiddush of tshuva for? The Torah says pashut. The tshuva isn't the chiddush of tshuva isn't that we stop doing averus. The chiddush of tshuva is a remarkable chiddush that we can go back and erase the past by a sincere regret, by darkei tshuva, by saying vidui. A person has the koyach to be oiker the averus that they did in the past. That is a remarkable thing. When you think about it, it's quite unbelievable, as the Siddur Shasharim says. If a person kills somebody in Ebuch, Ba'inus, Barotzen, B'shegig, B'mezid, whatever it was, he kills somebody. And now he does tshuva. What did the family say? Where's our father? Where's my husband? Where's my brother? What do you mean he did tshuva? Shkech did tshuva. He killed him. And just as there's physical Averis, every Averis has a ruchnistic impact. Something's happened. So you come with your tshuva, shkech, tshuva. How does that help it? A chiddush, however it works, that one is able to change the ova, to uproot the evil of the past. And through the various processes of tshuva, the charota, the azivus achet, the kabbalah labo, the vidui, and Rabbi Yonah is an expansive list of what to do with tshuva. It's got 20 points that make a person to real baal tshuva. So I've been rad, go ask about the curriculum in Or Sameach. Go ask them when they learn Hilchus Tshuva or Rambam. Do you think they learn Hilchus Tshuva or Rambam? Do you think they learn Rabbeinu Yonah Shar Aleph, the 20 parts of Tshuva? Not a chance. Poor guy's just about becoming frum. He wanted to do Tshuva as well. The Baal Tshuva movement is about becoming a Yid, not about doing Tshuva. I don't even know if those people have to do Tshuva. I don't know if a person who's a Tinnik Shanishma has to, how much Tshuva he has to do on the past. But who has energy for Tshuva? Who has energy for worrying about the times that he ate food that wasn't kosher? He's trying to eat kosher now. He has time to regret the days that he missed putting on tefillin. First he has to learn Hilchus Tefillin. Maybe after 20 years of living a frum life, then maybe on a Aseres Yom Tshuva and Yom Kippur, he has more of a feeling of what it means to do tshuva. The FFP didn't do any averus. This is a tzaddik gomer nebuch. He doesn't know that he's done averus, so he doesn't have a chance of doing tshuva. Someone who knows he was once not frum knows that he has to do tshuva. He can live a life of serious. People know what they call bali tshuva, generally more serious yidden. Say that he's lucky. But be'etzim the sugya becoming about tshuva, it's not about becoming about tshuva, it's about becoming an Orthodox Jew, it's about being Kabbal Omal Shemaim, somebody who didn't know about Torah, learning about Torah. It's taking a Tinnik Shenishba, who was a Tinnik Shenishba, and making a most Tinnik Shenishba. It's about teaching Torah and Hashemaim, about teaching Yiddishkeit. The Arachim seminar teaches Hilchos tshuva. Nothing would change. If you cancel the whole concept of tshuva, those parashas in Torah didn't exist. Hilchos tshuva la Rambam was completely wiped out of the book, and there was no Shari tshuva of Rabbi Yonah. The Arachim seminar wouldn't change an iota. It's not about tshuva. It's about becoming a yid. And Mamela, when it comes around to Aseres Yemei tshuva every year, we have to ask ourselves what our primary problem is. What are our issues? Do we have to worry about tshuva, or should we be concerned more about becoming yid? If you're a tzaddik gomur, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva didn't have any problems with tomorrow or next week. He knew what tomorrow was going to look like. He knew that tomorrow is going to be up before davening, plenty of time before davening, and he's going to be have gone to the mikveh, and he's going to be in shul with plenty of time to prepare for davening, and he knew what davening was going to look like. You ever saw him davening? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. Every word would be said clearly with kavana. We translate the words sometimes for help to be mechavan. So he knows what tomorrow is going to be like, and he's going to be nice to everybody, and he's not going to speak lashon hara, stach poshet, and there's no problems with machshavas and hirurim. So he's not worried about tomorrow. But he remembers the chleis last year or 2 years ago, once in the middle of davening, his mind wandered. Oh, has to do tshuva. I don't know what his tshuva was. I'm sure he had his own set of averus, and I'm sure he had a book or some way that he recorded his averus. But most of us are not quite the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. And our issue is not yesterday's Lashon Hara, and not last week's Sirurim Royim, and not the time, the 2 months ago, that we offended our wives. Our problem is, what's going to be tomorrow? What's going to be today? What's my chance of making it through Tzom Gedalia without snapping at somebody or losing my temper? Everybody has their own issues, but a person's, what's the chances that I'm going to mechaven the whole of Shemana Esra during Mincha today? Will I remember Zachreinu Michamecha? Will I have to go back because I said Akela Kodesh, said Amelech Kodesh? That's our concerns. In the Olam HaMais, we just have to get our lives in order. Do we have energy to talk about the past? I don't know if we have that koyach. So when we talk about tshuva, our tshuva has to be 90% forward focused, 90% Kabbalah Labo. And then also, during Slichas, we say, Oshamnu Bagadnu, we work on the vidui. So then we have to be Mischarat al Ova, over Yom Kippur Tak, everybody has a Rishima of Averus, little things or big things, or things that we did once, or things that we've done more than once, that we add into the vidui. We add our own little Aleph base into the vidui, or Mechavan during the Rishonis of the vidui. Then we can talk about the Ova. But our major focus, the Chir, has to be to look at the Osit. To look at the Osit. Rav Vilna Gaon says in Shir HaShirim, the pasuk says, "Leimer la'asurim tzu, v'ra'asher b'choshech yigalu." To those who are asurim, who are tied up, to free them from their bonds, v'ra'asher b'choshech. Those in the dark, we're going to reveal things to them. We're going to switch on the lights, so the person can be trapped in chet on two levels. One level is that he's so trapped, he's asurim, he's wrapped up in a chet. And everybody has their own little avirulach that are like that. That there's so much part of them, a part of us, that we hardly know they exist. A person's raptos is when a kernel of wheat grows, it grows together with the chaff. You can't see the two. You've got the wheat inside, you've got the food that is valuable, you've got the kernel of wheat itself. But it's tight. The chaff is so tightly connected, they're like one. And the only way to free them is you've got to thresh them. You get an animal or a machine and you thresh it, you knock it from Allah, Zaitan, and eventually you loosen the two. That's Leimal Asurim Tzu. Freeing oneself from being completely intertwined with a chet. But then there's a second stage. When on Shabbos, you take that And there's still a malacha to be done. There's still a new creative activity that takes it further. You have to winnow it. Because it's a taruvitz. It's one big mess. That's the second stage. To clarify things. So, be'emes and tshuva, there are at least three stages. And there's even four maybe, but at least three stages. The first stage is, a person is mixed with the Yetzer Hara. Talk about the Yetzer Hara, and we talk like the Zohar Kodesh talks about Esav HaRosha. We live under the influence of Edom. We live in Western society where our ideals and our sheifas and our lifestyle becomes mixed up with that of Esav HaRosha. And we've lived there so long, we don't even know there's anything missing. And the Tzkiah of Rosh Hashanah, the true of Rosh Hashanah, takes that and says, "Hello, Uru Yishen Mishinaschem, wake up." What do you mean, wake up? Wake up what? Oh, I'm sleeping. Wake up, said the Rambam. We're going to wake up because our ruchnis tigger mind is asleep. Still there, still functioning. We turn over in our sleep, and we even sleepwalk, and we certainly sleep talk. All right, every morning shachris. Most people don't wake up till 10 o'clock and they manage to hold on shachris beforehand. We sleepwalk, we sleep talk, but we're not. And the mind, the ruchnistiga mind, the mind that is aware that there's a ribbono shel olam, that there's an olam habo, that every single action that we do makes a difference, that this short 70 years of life is nothing compared to the netzach of olam habo, and that one day we're going to look back and say, oh, wow, I did so much, or I didn't do so much, and we're going to regret every aveira, we're going to have such geschmack for every moment of chesed, of tefillah, of limud haTorah, every word, every struggle in learning, it's going to be so valuable. When that mind is awake, well then all of a sudden you've got something to do. Then we can go to stage two. Stage two is, okay, there's two things. There's ruchnis and gashmis. A ruchnis mind is woken up. My neshama has something to say. There's ruchnis and gashmis. Oh, if there's ruchnis and gashmis, now I have to ask, well, which parts of my life are ruchni and which parts of my life are gashmi? That's stage two. And then we can start to split between the two chalakim, between the gashmias and the ruchnias. That's stage two. And then stage three is now that we know that there's chaff, now that we know there's two things, we've been through the disha, we've been through the threshing, there's grain and there's chaff. At least we know there's two things. You know, a person can walk through life and think that everything's wonderful. You know, it's good, Baruch Hashem, I'm a good Jew. And then, but when a person wakes up and does a disha and goes through his day and is mefashvish b'maisav, he starts to chap, yamashvish b'maisav, yamashvish b'maisav. Is this called davening? Is this called learning? Am I learning enough? Who says? Have I learned the Rama Mechus Tshuva? Have I learned the Rama Mechus Talmud Torah? What's the standard I'm comparing to? We all know the Rambam there. The Rambam there is talking about how to split your learning. Can I just stop with a simple chakira? Who's in charge here? Is this a shiur till 9:30? Was it a half an hour shiur? Because we started 5 minutes late. Half an hour. We're on till 25. So the Rambam there is talking about how to work out your learning. How much Mikra, how much Mishnah, how much Gemara. It says you should split it a third each. Third Mikra, third Mishnah, a third Gemara. But the Rambam says, I'll give you a moshel of a normal person. He says, so let's say you're a normal person who's not in Kailuz at the Rambam, you're Baal Umnas, a working man. So the working man probably works for 3 hours and learns for nine. So you should spend 3 hours on Mikra, 3 hours on Mishnah, 3 hours on Gemara. That was Rambam's Balabos. Yeah. I have to know how many you would like to actually. They're learning a sugya for the 9 hours. There's Musa, there's Halacha, other things that I've learned. 9 hours. What are we comparing ourselves to? Now that the neshama's awake, now that we've been through a Rish Hashanah, the first stage is, I say, you have to run away from Esav HaRosha. We have to look at our lives and say, one second, is this right? You know, there's so many atayim that we sort of rely on. Because that's life. And the Velt asks you, there's a din that you can be Eichel Pasakum. If you don't have Jewish bread available, then as long as you know it's 100% kosher, and the only problem is being baked by a goy, the halacha is you're allowed to eat it. But Aseres Mei Tshuva, Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't. Who are you trying to fool? What sort of nonsense? Aseres Mei Tshuva, he doesn't eat. He's not saying he's been mekabel Aseres Mei Tshuva never to eat pasakum again. During Aseres Mei Tshuva, he's not going to eat pasakum. He's putting his order for next week's bread, but this week he's not. What's the chokhmah? I always wonder whether pshat is something very simple. Set higher standards. I say to my tshuva, we live on a higher level because we want to remember. God, I know, Taka, that I'm not going to be there 20 minutes for davening every day for the rest of the year. But if I'm there, I say to my tshuva, I remember what davening looks like. We reassess what we want to become. We break away from Esav HaRasha. You know, normal people just go around town and that's life. You know, we put up with the rubbish that we have to have stuffed in our face every time we travel around. We walk up the streets or travel on the tube. If you take off your glasses or you look away, that's because you're strange. Maybe you're Hasidish or a bit too from, whatever. Who says? Who says? Maybe not. Maybe that's normal and we're crazy. Who knows what's normal? Maybe learning Mishnah to bust up is a normal thing to do. It's not for a masmid. Maybe that's normal. What should life look like? What does Shalom Bayis look like? Shalom Bayis is that I didn't throw any dishes today, that we didn't fight, nobody hit each other, I didn't hit my wife today, what's the standards? What should really be happening? What does true Shalom Bayis look like? What does Chinuch look like? It's time to ask ourselves about our Maisim, to be Mefashfish B'Maisav, run away from the effects of Esav HaRasha. Once we run away, we end up with this chaff. You end up with a mixture of grain, psalus. That's still the easy part. Tekiah Shofar, waking up, separating the two is the easy part. The Zera is the really difficult part. How lemaisa are we going to take away those averus? Chances are that whatever made the problems happen in the past will make it happen again. And if we don't introduce new energy, then why should anything change? If I wanted to learn 12 daf a day last year, every day I was going to learn 12 daf, or 12 hours, or 12 minutes, whatever each person with his olam. If I was planning that last year, but it didn't happen, why didn't it happen? Because there was no force in place to make it happen. So why should it happen, Tavshin Ayin Dalet? We have to find Sibbis and Masevev. We have to make Cheshbonus, work out a practical plan of how we're going to reach what we're going to reach. It may be a long-term plan. And maybe the person's becable to learn in Yonit Tefillah, and he knows that if he learns Pirush HaTefillah for 10 minutes every day, then over the next 5 years, his davening will improve. Could be a person that's becable in Yonit Musa, whatever it is, but these Kabbalahs have to be a product, not of some instinct, of a cheshbon, of sitting down with a pen and paper, and asking ourselves what our goals are. What are the most important things in my life? What am I going to regret? B'yoyim ha'acharoi. As we're leaving this world, what are we going to look back and say, why didn't I? And as they always say, no one's going to say, why didn't I spend more time in the office? That's not going to be our regret. We're going to ask, why didn't I spend more time in the Beis HaMedrash? Why didn't I spend more time at home? Why wasn't I more focused about certain inyonim? Why didn't I listen to tapes if I was anyway traveling? All these, what are we going to miss? What are the top three things that we're going to regret and say, why didn't I? And then, if that's what I really want to achieve, what am I going to give up to make that happen? Nothing comes easily. Abi Shulman says there was once a violinist who played a remarkable, remarkable piece. And he finished and everyone was stunned. And there was that silence. Like nobody could say, it was so beautiful. Nobody could say a word. And somebody ran over to him and said, you know, I would give anything to be able to play like that. And he stopped for a moment. And I looked at him and said, you know, it's exactly what I did. I gave everything to be able to play like that. He gave up. His friends were having a good time, and he gave up night after night after night to practice. If we want to do something worthwhile, it has to come at a price. We can't hope to, next year, I'll learn for an extra hour. It's a cost. What are we going to pay for that? What are we willing to give up to sit down with a pen and paper? Because it doesn't work any other way. Sit down with a pen and paper and make a cheshbon of what we want to achieve. The small practical steps we can take to actually make that happen. And the price we're willing to pay to make sure that that changes from a dream to reality. If we do that during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, then we've got our future somewhat under control. And you come into Yom Kippur, it's a different Yom Kippur. Every tefillah is a focused tefillah, every vidui is a focused vidui. It's meaningful, it's reasonable. We can tack a stand in front of the Rebbein Shem and say, I know Tavshin Ayin Dalet will be different, and the Rebbein Shem should be mevarech b'emes, that we should be zeicher to do a tshuva shlema, and to be zeicher to a year of gezunt, nachas, hatzlocha, panosa, alo gute zachem begashmes, ubruchnis, agmach simatev. Hey, go on, Rebbe.